Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 29th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Maggie. How you doing, Maggie?
I'm doing great. I'm so, so happy to be here. I'm a little bit disappointed because the last time I was here was when we also had a Vic HOH, but it wasn't invisible. So all of her messiness just had to be thrown right out there. And we were talking about some wild, wild conversations. And this week has proven to be a bit more tame, which is not what I love out of my Victoria HOHs. I love the chaos of it all. But I'm excited to talk to you today. I think it's going to be a fun update.
Yeah, I think one of the problems here is that that Victoria in her first HOH had an agenda. She had a goal. The goal was eliminate Toya so that she can get close to Ty and Jed, which is an absurd plan, and it led to absurdity. This time, she feels like she's with Ty and Jed, so she's just picking off any of their competition.
And, I mean, I've been annoyed this week, if I'm just going to be honest. I've been like, what is anybody doing? Because we've talked about the fact that all of these people are like BC level players. And they just can't like sit on their hands for a little bit. Like they have no idea what a long game is. They're the type of players who like they get a good idea and they're like, I'm doing it right now at this exact moment. And there's very little subtlety from 99% of the cast, which makes, I guess, like it a little more fun for us. But it's also getting to the point where I'm really ready for someone to emerge as a front runner and someone who like game wise I can root for. And I don't want those people to be Ty and Jed because last week they were trying to strike a deal with Kyle and Ro. I'm like, but how are they the best players in the house right now? But yeah, I guess we'll get into it more today.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say that they're the best players in the house, but they are the coolest players in the house. And that
for
counts
sure.
for a lot.
Yeah, especially with this group of people. You know, I think last time I was on, we were talking about Beth and you were like, you got very heated about it and you were like, she just needs to stop. And oh my gosh, do I feel that watching the feeds? It's like the secondhand embarrassment I get over Beth's like sort of spastic, like lying. It's like, Beth, please stop. Nobody is believing you. You have no social capital in the house right now. What you need to do is just like talk about something else and maybe try to build that social capital back. But watching Beth try and talk game is like a bit painful for me at this point. A lot of the game talk yesterday was with Beth. And by the end of the day, I was like, oh no, please somebody make it stop.
Yes. Well, of course, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 9 feeds. It was day 30 in the house, and it was a day full of Tara complaining. Wait, no, that's every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry.
I mean, you want to talk about someone with absolutely no social capital?
Yeah. I mean, well, there's Vic and there's Tara. This is when it comes to no social capital.
You're right. I guess it is sort of like a juggle of which one is worse. But I really do feel like Tara says she wants something and the entire house is like, okay, so we're going to do exactly not that because Tara wants it. It's like if you were smart enough in the game to like really be able to check out the relationship dynamics around you, you would plant what you don't want to happen in Tara and get her to spread it around, because the entire house would be firmly against that plan by the end of the day.
Yeah. The latest thing she's upset about, or at least at this point in the morning, is that they were like TikToks that happened or something. And she's upset that she wasn't in them and that the guys made a comment about how she wasn't in them. And, it, you know, it's not funny because she has all the ideas for the TikToks. And she's not getting credit, and those guys are just terrible. And then later in the day, she's like, "Oh, Ty, I was about to go off on you because I thought you had stolen my cigarettes, but turns out you hadn't stolen them. So I guess I'm not gonna go off on you anymore. Ha 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 ha. No, that's not funny, Tara. Actually."
I've never heard anyone reenact a conversation with like less enthusiasm than what just happened. Tell me how you really feel about Tara, Taryn. Tell me.
I don't like her. I think that she really? Is a bad person.
Aw, that is a little far. I think that she just is a bit out of her element because these people are a lot younger than her. I think she feels super insecure about her place in the game. I think that she feels super comfortable with Tina, so she retreats there. And Tina is a decent player, so she knows sort of how to weaponize Tara in that way. But even Tina, I think, is starting to get to the point where she's like, maybe I gotta let Tara go because she's really kind of anchored me down. I think that she also, like, she is sort of the antithesis of the way that, like, Victoria is feeling right now, where Victoria is like, these are the cool kids. I have to be with the cool kids. And Tara's like, those are the cool kids. I hate the cool kids. I want nothing to do with them. We have to get them out immediately. And it's sort of unwarranted. So then when the conversations like that happen, it's like, whoa, Ty's nice. I'm confused.
The thing for me is that she has been on this about Ty and Jed since the beginning. And you know, there are many people who have over time tracked her behavior toward them. Some of the things that she said about them. And it's, you can maybe say that her dislike of Jed is justified because he made comments about her that were inappropriate. But Ty has done none of those things. Mm-hmm. Ty has been nothing but a gentleman in this house. He has done nothing to Tara. And she's constantly and she doesn't do this to everyone. She only focuses in on and she tends to be Ty even more than Jed. Like, you know, telling him that he must have a messy house, commenting on how much money he makes, talking about how she's scared of him, saying that she thinks that he stole her cigarettes. It really makes me uncomfortable and I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, that's super fair. She's also very difficult to watch on the feeds because I think that it's really hard to watch players who think that they are at a certain level. So they like play as though they are at that level. And everybody around them is like rolling their eyes at them, basically. It's like it's very difficult to watch those conversations. Because it's easier when they're people who you just sort of have written off at that point, and you're like, oh, well, it's, you know, I'm watching Raven try to be the puppet master here. But it's harder when we're still in the midst of the game and we still don't know where the chips are going to lie. And it's just like, why are, like you don't know what side of the house they're going to end up on, what side of the power they're going to end up on, and like if they do have potential to turn it around. But yeah, Tara going after Jed and Ty, like watching these feeds, they're, Jed and Ty are like two really, really good, nice guys. I haven't seen any behavior from them that would warrant even like an ounce of what she's giving Ty. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, look, I don't like Tara. I think she's a bad person in the context of the game that she's playing right now, where she is going after Ty in that sense. I'm sure she's perfectly fine at home. And all of that. But it definitely, it's definitely frustrating to watch because Ty's such a good guy. He should not be made to feel the way he's feeling. Like listening to Ty talk about it, it's very frustrating. So, anyway, Austin is going to, be very upset still throughout most of the day. She is going to be ignoring, Vic. In the morning. It doesn't even want anything to do with her. She's pissed at Vic. She's pissed at Roe. She's pissed at Beth. She's pissed at Ty. She doesn't even have any time to respond to them at all. And that is going to piss off Vic, who is going to start calling Austin some names that I won't repeat. It's a bit messy.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Austin, like the issue that we have with Austin, right, is like she doesn't play in both like the sense of like she's not going to play around about like how she feels about you, but also in the sense of like that is the game of Big Brother that you have to play. So, yeah, she's upset. She's on the block with her best friend. And the thing is, I don't, obviously, it's sort of, you know, obnoxious that we're watching someone not play the game, but also I think that it's easier to accept because you understand that it's Austin. You know that she's never going to kiss anybody's butt, that she's always going to be upfront. It's sort of, it's very game body, in the way of like, it's less like game body, not in the way where it's focused on like strategy, but game body where it's focused on emotion, where it's like, you've wronged me. Goodbye forever. I'm not interested in talking to you, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So the only people she's willing to talk to basically at this point are Brayden and Tina is going to talk to her a bit and comfort her. And they talk about, she'll get them back for this. Don't worry, Austin.
And she's telling Tina, you know, she's crying in the bathroom and she's telling Tina that, you know, Ro promised them before the veto that he would use it on them. And she's getting really fired up about it. And I'm like, Austin, if you could have brought this fire at any other point in the game, when you're not on your way out the door, we could have had something here. You know, yeah. What can you do?
Well, she makes sure it's Ro and Vic too. They need to go as well. Not just the guys. Yes, okay. Kiefer and Vic are going to talk about their long-term plans. They agree that Ro and Brayden need to go next. The reason being, they're the only ones who will take shots at the guys, which they need to prevent that from happening. They can't let other people take shots at their boys.
I think it's just tough to watch the boys, the triangle, be in such an amazing position when you don't feel on the outside as though it's been like completely earned.
I mean, it's literally been Vic, Keith, Vic, HOH is the only reason why they haven't touched the puck.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's so tough to watch them be so, so protected when it feels so unearned. And you're like, that's why I think the fandom is sort of itching for them to feel a little bit of heat. It's like the idea of, you know, you want the really amazing players to face a bit of adversity because you want to see what they do. You don't want it to just be a steamroll. And you especially don't want it to just be a steamroll when it's because the two people who are loyal to them without like the largest reason in the world keep winning HOHs. But yeah, they solidify their final two, Victoria and Kiefer, which like what a final two that would be.
For as much as Victoria can solidify anything.
Right. I mean, she's got the lip gloss on it.
We can yeah, exactly. The sorry is bossy glossy, but she's got a new alliance as of this morning. And sorry, Kiefer as well, because she's got a new alliance as of this morning.
I didn't even see that.
Yes. It's great with Kiefer until the boys want to make something official. And now, uh-oh for Kiefer. So, yes, they do agree, though. They agree in this conversation, at least, that so I think this is where Kiefer's head is at, although I don't think it's where Vic's head is at, that their end game is better with Tina and Tara than it is with the triangle. So it would be easier to beat Tina and Tara. They know that the triangle won't choose them over each other, or at least that's what Kiefer says. And Vic's like, sure. So once they get down to it. Once they get down to like the final seven, they'll let Tina and Tara take the shot at the triangle. They can't do it. Like, how do you expect it to be done then? Exactly.
Well, and it's very frustrating. This is why it's been sort of a really annoying week as a watcher to be like, is this going to happen? Like, is this even, are we just going to watch them like march to the end and people hand them the game? Obviously, it's Big Brother, so there's, you know, a much greater chance that that doesn't happen. But it is so frustrating to watch them because it's just really, really difficult. And I love Victoria, right? I love that she is just all over the place. It makes me laugh. But at this point, I'm sort of like, can we do something else, perhaps? I don't know, like be self-interested? I don't know.
Yeah. Vic talks about that. It's very open now between her and Kiefer that she's the HOH. She says she can't believe she put herself on slop. She can't believe she did that. And she's got, and Kiefer's like, but you can't use the slop pass though. You don't use it. It really just got me thinking, like, I can't believe she put herself on slop. It's as soon as she did, that's how most people figured out that she was the HOH. And she also did have the slot pass. So now nobody's going to use the slot pass. But here's the thing. If she had the slot pass, there's two reasons why it would have been a great idea to not put herself on slop. Don't put yourself on slop and then be like, ah, damn, I had this slot pass that expires this week. I wish I had a chance to use it or give it to somebody like, oh, I had this. Turns out this whole I didn't even need this thing. Also, having the slot pass makes people think that you probably are not the HOH because you had to win it during the competition to like turn around or something, which makes it less likely that you would have won. So it's like, oh, if it doesn't line up in that way, it's a great way of proving that you're not the HOH to not have. And maybe don't give it to somebody because maybe that indicates that you had planned on putting someone on slop, then giving them the slop pass. So instead be like, oh, sorry, I can't give it to anyone. Just this goes to waste now. It's like, well, why would they make the slop pass go to waste? If she has the slot pass, then she probably didn't win. I feel like that's way more covering your tracks than putting yourself on slop and then having a slot pass and then not using the slot pass because you've already been found out that your plan was to use the slot pass. And so then everyone figures out that you're the HOH. And look, I realize that she would have given herself away anyway because it's Vic. I get that. But still, come on.
But that would have been like 17 steps of critical thinking. And we've been proven time and time again that that's just not happening with Spicy V over here.
No,
I love how exasperated you've been over the past couple updates. It's starting to get to the point where, like, nobody's really doing anything super self-interested.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's the path forward is so clear. And it feels like the only person who can really see it is Tina. And everybody else is, like, kind of floating around in the dark, mm-hmm. really just sort of like, well, I think I should do what feels correct. And it's like, but if we just took some time, maybe sat in the ball pit, really looked at our options, we could come to a much better and different conclusion.
I'm trying to live in their world and like I'm living and breathing their strategy, and I'm having to make analysis based on who these players are and the kinds of decisions they would make. And it's like I'm being gaslit. And every once in a while, I remember that reality is a thing and that they're all being dumb. And it's just like, well, what are they even doing? Okay, I'm back. I'm back in. But seriously. Okay, no, I'm in there. I'm with them.
As a viewer, it's fun to watch. It feels like we're along for the ride, Jared.
So, Vic also, this is funny to me as well. Vic mentions that now that she's the secret HOH, she can tell that the boys are, like, really, really with her because they've been so supportive and they don't even know that she's the HOH, which is...
That's also the thing. Okay, you're in a house with a player like Victoria. How do you even handle her? Like, what do you even do?
Be over 6 feet and extremely handsome.
All right.
Easy. All right. Next up, we have...
No comment. You really took the wind out of my sails there. I thought we were going to do some game analysis of what motivates her. Nope. All right.
But genuinely, that's the best way. If you're not over 6 feet and extremely handsome, look, you have to take out the over 6 feet and extremely handsome people because you're going to be in trouble.
Look, Taryn, did I say you were wrong? Did I even have a comeback at all?
Ro and Braden are going to talk. Ro's going to continue his apology tour with Braden in Austin, but Braden's up first. He says his new sort of line is that he fully intended to use the veto. That's why he was saying he would. But then, you know, in the back of his mind, he thought about consequences, but he was like, I'll iron those out when we get to it. But then I won, and then it was like, oh, these consequences. And the bottom line is that if I use it, one of you will go anyway, and so it won't even make a difference. And so it just doesn't make sense to use it. But I'm so sorry. And he basically says the same thing to Austin, except she's crying while he says it. And he says that the game has been a lot harder than he thought. Emotionally, he thought he'd come in here and be so cold and calculated, but it's been so tough for him. He doesn't convey that emotion very well, but he says it.
Well, you know, all you have to do is state it, right? And then you did a great job. I think that that's also, you know, I think that Big Brother people, these players, you know, you watch Big Brother, you feel like you can come in and do all the strategy. Like, Rohan is the perfect example of what I was talking about at the top of the update, where it's like, there is just no, like, long game. There's no understanding of how to really talk to people. Like, these great players are a combination of the way that they make people feel and the way that they can view the game board. And Rohan has, like, the right idea, right? Like, yesterday, that conversation with Beth, it's the right idea, but, like, just a complete wrong execution all around. And Rohan, like, this situation, his execution has been so poor of the way that he's handled Austin and Braden, the way that he's handled the triangle, even winning the veto at all. If he was never going to use it, why are you trying to win it and put yourself in this pickle? He is, I mean, Stockwatch this week I can only imagine what's about to happen to essentially every single person. And I'm really happy that I went in. I made one good decision this week. The first one that I've made thus far, because I think that she's doing all right. But everybody, it's just like, what are they doing here? What are we watching?
Do I take that to mean that you went in on Tina here?
I did.
There you go.
But, you know, you got to make up for it. Last week I went all in on Kyle. So embarrassing.
Yes. Well, Ro says that he does not want Austin to feel isolated from the house. He will still hang out with her and all of that. Austin says, I'm used to it, especially from girls. It happens. And I was kind of like, wait, weren't you the one ignoring people earlier today?
You know, everybody's the hero of their own narrative. If this season has taught me anything, it's that we are all the hero of our own storyline and narrative. These people, man, they just, and because I think that maybe this is the problem that a lot of them are having, is that they are viewing it all from like their own perspective versus, you know, you always talk about like optimal, if everybody's playing optimally, what will happen? And I don't even think that that thought has crossed a single person's mind throughout this whole game. It's like, if my competition were to play to the best optimal level, what would they choose to do? Everybody is thinking about, well, if they played like me, what would they do? And that's why people are doing things that make no sense.
Yeah. So Tina and Tara are going to talk about potentially saving Austin. Could we flip this vote and get rid of Brayden, keep Austin around, bigger target, better at competitions, more likely to be able to take a shot at the guys? They would need 4 votes. So them two, Ro, and then they would need Kiefer on board. Tara says that Ro has already talked about talking to Vic about flipping her vote, to which Tina says, well, that's a terrible idea. That'll go straight back to the guys. And also, she's the HOH. She doesn't have a vote.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, what if you got stuck with one of these people? Like, what do you do if like you're in a house like this and your ally is Tara and you're stuck with her? I think I would be like Tina and be like, get out of here. What am I supposed to do here? At least I'll be a free agent and be able to do things better on my own. But also, so they would need 4 votes. How do you feel about this move for them, getting rid of Brayden over Austin?
Honestly, I don't think it's worth it. I mean, Austin sure might be a bigger target than Brayden, but Brayden's already still a target to the mm-hmm. guys right now. And still willing to go against the guys. And if they vote to keep Austin, then it could open up a situation where the guys are like, oh, so, you think that you can keep Austin in as a target? Well, now you're my target because, you're clearly against me and you're going to flip votes against me. Now in this house, maybe not. Maybe it would just stay on Austin. Maybe it would be worth it if they could get Kiefer. But as Tina is going to point out, she does not think Kiefer will come along with it, anyway. She doesn't think he'll go against the guys, which is true. For Kiefer, it really doesn't make sense because he's never had a good relationship with Austin, and it doesn't make sense for him to blow up his own spot with the guys right now when Brayden is a perfectly viable alternative to take a shot at them.
I agree. I think that they need to invest their time and energy this week into solidifying that Brayden is with them moving forward rather than trying to flip a vote and do something like funky. They have a good enough relationship with Brayden. He's social enough. They can, you know, make something happen with him before Austin goes out the door, because he'll want to. He'll be open to it.
Yes. Tina does say that she thinks that Keith has been wavering a little bit, that he's maybe considering not going to the end with the guys, but she does not trust that Vic is feeling the same way. She thinks Vic is perfectly willing to go to the end with the guys. And so they can continue to work on Kiefer, but they really need to back away from Vic because she is dangerous in the game. That is really, it's really like the most dangerous person in a game like this is somebody that wins a bunch of competitions and is playing for somebody else. Like, like that's a really bad place to be if you're not that somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what I would do if I was in this house with V. I think that I would just try to keep my head down and stay out of the line of fire, try and stay away from talking ever about Ty and Jed around her. But she, because she does these things, though, you know, like she makes Glossy Posse only to go back on it. It's very confusing, obviously, for us out here. So I can only imagine how much of like whiplash these people in there are getting, being like, wait, I just talked to her like 4 days ago about how we're together, and now she's sending me out the door. Yeah.
So Beth, Ty, and Jed are going to talk a bit. She fills Ty in on Ro's attempt to get in her head the night before. They agree Ro needs to go next, but then I swear they have the same conversation every single week about like, oh, but who exactly would we put up? And Beth always says, well, I couldn't do this because I have such a great relationship with them. Meanwhile, Ro is talking about how much he hates Beth and thinks she's fake. And she's like, but I've got Ro right now. I would put him up, but I can't put him up, but I should put him up, but I guess I won't, but I guess I will. Maybe I should just not win HOH, actually. I don't know if I need to.
Well, this is sort of what I was saying. This is like what was bursting out of me at the top of the update. Like, Beth needs to stop, and she needs to take a breath, and she needs to actually recognize the player that she is. I mean, obviously, it's not going to happen. We're beyond any sort of sense of any of that. But Beth is not capable of being the player that she thinks that she is. Beth gave up her position as ever being able to do anything like that, because then she wouldn't have been able to cuddle with the boys. So that is who Beth is. Beth is a showmantress. Beth needs to play like a showmantress. And that is a perfectly viable strategy. We've seen amazing showmantresses make their way through the game and win or come very, very close. But it's really embarrassing to watch Beth try and be a mastermind when the second she leaves a conversation, everybody's like, everything she just said was a complete lie. And she has absolutely no social capital. It's really, really, really hard to watch.
Yeah, it's. I think part of the reason that things have kind of slowed down. At the start of the season, we loved this cast because they were all so self-interested. And mm-hmm. I think that over time, they have really become much less self-interested. Mm-hmm. I think that this trio, I think they're Ty especially, great guy. And they're perfectly willing to play the game, to use people, to cut people, whatever. But when it comes to themselves, they care about the thruple more than they care about the game.
Yes.
And you can tell that based on the way that they talk about, like, well, we've made jury, like, and hopefully, hopefully we make jury, because that jury house will be so much fun together. And they're hoping that they make it to the end and that one of them wins, and that would be great. But if it doesn't happen, they're having fun.
As a viewer, like, I've never been the biggest, who watches this podcast is like a huge fan of showmances. You know, like, nobody who's like listening to this is like, I love showmances, that's why I watch Big Brother. But like, this is just sort of too much for me. Everybody is a consenting adult. There's absolutely no problem with it. But like, I've gotten to the end of my rope in being invested in the triangle. I can't do it anymore. And if Beth leaves, then at least we're not getting any more of these showmancy type things, and we'll just get a bro down, which at this point I can handle probably better than this triangle. And I'm getting exasperated at this point about this triangle because I can't watch it anymore, and it makes me feel weird, and I don't like it.
I think the triangle is fun. I just like, I think them as players, they're not invested enough in the game. I think that the same is true of Vic and Kiefer, who are playing way too much for the triangle. I think that they are that both of them are playing for their own game, but I think that they care too much about what the triangle thinks of them. And that is impacting their decisions too much. Then you have people like Austin and Brayden who care about their friendship more than the game. And you have, and it really just leaves like Tina likes Tara, but she's willing to throw Tara under the bus. And and for as much as Tara annoys me, Tara is also, I think, willing to throw Tina under the bus if necessary. Hasn't been necessary yet, but at least they're playing for themselves. And Ro is also playing for himself, which I appreciate. But I think that they are the only people left who are like really, really gunning hard for being self-interested in the game. And I think that's what's kind of clogging up the works right now.
For sure.
And I think that I think the triangle needs to be broken. I think they need to take out one of the legs of the triangle. It needs to crumble and then everyone needs to scramble and start playing for themselves again.
Yes, and then we can get a bit of a reshuffling. And I don't want to discount, like, this just goes to show how good Jed and Ty are socially in general, because it's actually an amazing, like, tactic to make everybody in the house really care about what you think. Like, Cody is the master of that, right? Like, everybody in Big Brother 22 was, like, trying to figure out what Cody would think about this move. You don't want to make Cody mad. You don't want, you know, and that's an amazing intimidation technique without being, you know, outwardly intimidating. It's just social manipulation. Like, Jed and Ty, just by being their, like, lovely selves, attract people to them, and people want to do what will make them happy. Like, I'm not trying to take away that strategy. It's just, like you said, it's clogging up the gameplay and it's making it more difficult. And they did get rid of a lot of self-interested players. You know, people like Kyle, people like LaToya, especially. Those are very self-interested people who, yes, sort of what was their downfall was that they were playing for other people. But like LaToya would, you know, be trying to get in the triangle's ear about Vic, and there would at least be more tension, perhaps.
Well, there was more of a power struggle, I think, within the group. But it was also, again, it was earlier in the game when they didn't know each other as well, and like these bonds have really, really solidified over time, and I think have become more important than the game in many instances, which is great for them. But like, I don't care about your friendship, like. I'm here to watch you betray your friends. Betray your friend. Do it. The whole audience wants you to do it.
Let's get you a megaphone.
We're trying to peer pressure right now. All right.
Oh, man.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
They talk about Beth Ty and Jed. They talk about who to take to the end, with Ro going next. Brayden's up next to Ro is the nominations that they're talking about. Which is really like the main plan for all five of them. Beth, Ty, Jed, Vic, and Kiefer all want Ro and Brayden gone next, to take Tina and Tara to the final seven. And then once they get to the final seven, they talk about who would we take down to the end. And they agree unanimously, definitely not Vic. She is way too strong and will definitely win if she makes it to the final two. Way too dangerous. They need to take her out. If she's up on the block at any point from now until the end of the game, they're going to vote her out. But they will not put her up until final seven, final six themselves. They also agree that Kiefer... they're not loyal to Kiefer, but maybe they could take him to the end. Maybe he hasn't done it. And you know what? He's done too much. Kiefer's done. He's won too many things. So we probably couldn't take Kiefer. Tina's probably the best person to take to the end. She's the weakest player, competition wise, easiest player to beat. Let's take Tina, as far as we can. They don't think Tina will nominate them. Well, they and this is going to be a topic of conversation because they're talking about Tina as their potential bring her to the end person. They're now really focusing in on Tina and trying to figure out, can we trust Tina? Ty is kind of like, I don't think we can. Jed and Beth are more on the side of like, I think we can. For the most part, they don't think that Tina will come for them, at least yet. And Tina's going to be doing some work with them, reaffirming the whole Sunsetter thing. And Kiefer's going to be backing her up on that. So there's a lot of work that Tina is doing with, and this is what I've been waiting for Tina to do. Actually do some work with Ty, Jed, and Beth. She's been doing some of that work, and it seems to be working a little bit. It's definitely being aided by the fact that they see her as a goat. So that's kind of where they stand on Tina. And they straight up say in this conversation they're using Keef and Vic in the game so much. And it's been great for them.
Yeah, I mean... how embarrassing for Keith and Vic, am I right? But also, in this conversation, something that I really took note of is that they're listing off, you know, the order that they might want people to go and who would, you know, be in their ideal final six. And they keep forgetting about Brayden. Like, they keep leaving him sort of out of the conversation. And I do think that that sort of, you know, you said at the top that they're like, well, we'll get rid of Brayden and Ro first, but then they start to, you know, go into it more, and they're like, okay, well, we'll do Ro, then we'll do Keith, then we'll do, you know, and they like go through, and by the end they're like, oh wait, we forgot about Brayden. Like, when would we do Brayden? And I think that that says volumes about what Brayden's hopefully going to be able to do in the coming weeks in terms of sort of disappearing, which we get a conversation later in the day about where his head's at moving forward. But I'm really hoping, because I do really like Brayden, I'm really hoping that he can sort of like become a little ghost and, you know, make his way through the next couple weeks of like danger.
Brayden needs to start doing what Tina's doing, which is try to get in with the guys. If they feel like they have Brayden, then he's not going to be, because they look, here's the thing. They hate Tara. They all hate Tara. Ro has to go first because he's too dangerous. But after Ro, it's going to be between Brayden and Tara. And if Brayden gives them reason to not go after him, they will gladly take a shot at Tara first. So gladly. And if they take a shot at Tara first, then now they're down to the final seven, where it's Brayden and Tina, Vic and Kiefer and the trio. And that's a much better place for Brayden to be, because that's when Kiefer that's when the trio is going to be willing to take a shot at Kiefer and Vic. That's when Kiefer might be willing to let something happen to the guys. It's just overall just a much safer place to be if Brayden survives the next two evictions rather than just the next one. But the problem is he might not even just survive the next one if he lands on the block next to Ro. Ro has proven to be good at these vetoes. It would probably again be Brayden versus Tara on the block. So it's really, he just needs to be able to out socialize Tara, which won't be difficult, but he needs
with her social skills.
Yeah,
he needs great social skills, Taryn.
He needs to start working on it.
I'm hoping that he can pull through. I really like Brayden. I hope that he can get it together. And I hope that with Austin gone, he really starts to spread his wings, because I do think that he can see clearly. I think that he's, when Austin leaves, I do think he'll become that self-interested person that we're looking for. And I'm really hoping that he doesn't fall into the trap of like wanting to just get in with the cool kids and is able to keep a clear head about what needs to be done.
Yeah. And I think the thing for me is that I don't want him to wait until Austin's gone. And I know that he is going to, but like he needs to start working on this now, because it could happen as early as next week that he's on the block and that Ro wins the veto. Or even if Ro doesn't win the veto, they could still end up taking a shot at him, because they talk about flipping the vote all the time. But like I would like for him to not wait, but it's not going to happen. But because the only reason he's going to start socializing with other people is because Austin's going to be gone. It's not because he's going to be choosing to. So but I think that, in the ideal scenario, he starts socializing with them more now to prep for next week, to get them talking about, OK, so next week it's going to be Ro and Tara, because they've talked about that option a lot. But they've shied away from it. So, that's what I think he should do, but we'll see.
Great.
Yeah. Brayden and Ro do talk about how they will put up the guys if they win, and that they need to work with Tina and Tara. This is where Brayden needs to be in reality, even though, he will, be pretending to get in with the guys in case they win. Brayden lets, Ro know that and this, the whole day has been like Tina talking to Ro like, Vic can't be trusted. Ro being like, maybe I should talk to her, though. Maybe I can see if we can get her on board. Like, no, Brayden's going to talk to Ro and say, like, hey, Vic told Keith that he was the pawn during the HOH week. Like she has been playing both sides from the beginning. And Ro is like, oh. It's like, Ro, get it in your head. You can't trust Vic. They're working on it. I think they're almost there.
But the problem, this is one of like my favorite things about Big Brother, though, is that sometimes people's egos get in the way of them seeing clearly, because they don't want to believe that they've been tricked by this person for 3 weeks. Especially a person like Victoria, who's like all over the place. Like, I think it would be a huge hit to my ego to be like, wait, from the beginning, she's been playing me. And I really do love to see people, you know, have to navigate the truth and reckon it with what they've believed, and sort of have to like eat a little bit of humble pie and be like, okay, so I guess I have to shift. I have to, you know, change up who I'm talking to, what I've been thinking. And that's why, you know, my favorite players are the ones who are so open to change and who are super malleable in their game, because I really think that that is the key in playing modern Big Brother. But I really like the aspect of when someone finds out something and you can tell that they're like, crap, this is embarrassing for me. I think that it's really fun.
Ro is so interesting to me, because he really is like, he is the example of a game bot. Like he understands Big Brother strategy. He gets it, but the social side of it, the emotional side of it, he is lost. He has terrible reads. And like he can't read anybody. He can't connect to anyone emotionally. If you give him the correct information, like a computer, if you give him the correct information, he can calculate the correct action and response. But if you give him bad information, he won't understand what to do with it. He'll think it's like, he'll operate based on, oh, well, this is what I think this should be. And he can't mess with it. And when he gives you the results, it's like, not winning the veto, or not using the veto on you. It's not good for my game. Sorry about that. Oh, you're crying. I feel terrible. This is very difficult.
Don't cry. You should get that book, the book that David was talking about last season. What is
emotional
it
intelligence. Yes. EQ, yes.
Rohan needs that book.
He should have listened to our emotional intelligence podcast that we did last summer.
Ro, what are you doing?
It's very fun to watch though in the game, because it's interesting. I'm always interested in seeing different approaches to the game. And this is definitely, one of the more, I think, unique ones, because usually people come at it, most players come at it from the opposite angle. And that's where, like, Ty and Jed are the complete opposite. Ty and Jed are like fully, well, actually not the complete opposite. They also have terrible reads. Most people are the opposite, where they are able to be great social, like Ty. Okay. Ty and Jed are great social players. They can be social, but emotionally and strategically, they're lost. They can't read anybody except for Vic. But that, I mean, really, anybody should be able to read Vic in that house other than Ro, I guess. Strategically, they tend to be a little bit lost. A lot of people miss out on the strategic side of things, but they can do the social thing. So it's always fun for me to see somebody who's capable strategically, but just can't hack it socially, or emotionally. So
it's also really fun, you know, postseason, when we're able to see the full arc of the season, it's much easier to identify what type of player someone was, you know, because you have the full story, you have all of the information. But like, while we're in it, going through it and just trying to like parse out, you know, like Victoria, who I thought Victoria was as a player 2 weeks ago, has like totally changed to who I think she is now. And I think probably will change moving forward. And I think that it's really, this is like one of the most fun parts of Big Brother, is when you are trying to figure out, like, we on the outside are trying to do what the players on the inside are doing, except we don't have the pressure of trying to win $500,000. We're just trying to figure out what makes this person tick. What strategy would you use for this particular player? I think that it's very, it's the reason that I, you know, love to watch the podcast and love to be a part of the online community, because that's sort of what everybody's doing, is trying to figure out the storyline as it's happening.
You know what I just realized is that I think that Ro, I think a comparison I can make here, I think he's kind of like Kevin Martin. He's got a little bit of a Kevin Martin in him, where I think Kevin has the same thing, where like Kevin was like full on strategic, like great strategic mind. But like with the wrong data input, Kevin would make some very strange decisions. And I think that Kevin is great socially. I think that's one of the differences. Kevin would never be. Yeah.
What? Are you kidding me? I'm the most calm, cool, and collected person in this house.
You'd never hear Kevin saying that. But the when it comes to like the emotional reads on people, Kevin approaches the game with a completely clean, cold slate, like I think Ro does. Part of the reason he's unable to connect with people is, I think, because of that. And Kevin struggled with that in the game sometimes, failing to see the sort of emotional side of things. And I think Ro has the same problem. But the problem is that Ro also doesn't have a great social game either. Kevin had a lot of people who loved him.
Yeah, in I was the about game. To say that also, like, that's so interesting that you're able to like, it's just so interesting that you're able to dilute it down to that, because Rohan and Kevin, I feel like, have such different energy. Mm-hmm. When they walk into a room, I would never think to compare them. But when you dilute it down to that, it makes sense in terms of, because I think both of them are not logical enough players to be always thinking. Or no, they do. They're the type of player who looks at it and is like, if this person is playing absolutely optimally, what would they do? Mm-hmm. But they don't account for the emotional aspect of it.
Yeah.
That is so interesting. I'm going to be thinking about it for the rest of the day and try and come up with other people who I think go along with that.
There you go. All right. So, let's see. Keith is going to talk with Tina. He's like, you got to rein in Tara a little bit. She's pissing people off with this wanting Brayden to stay thing. And Keith is kind of like, I think that we should take out Brayden and Ro. Then it will be me, Vic, you, and Tara against the triangle and the final seven. Tina is going to kind of like placate him in this conversation, but this is obviously not like a good idea for Tina. She does not trust that Vic would be with them. But she knows not to push Kiefer here. So she's kind of like, I'll work on Tara. I'll try to see what I can do here. And Kiefer's going to run that back to the Sunsetters. Oh, Tina can work on Tara for us. That's another valuable thing with Tina. And that's what, you know, again, they start debating, like, can we trust Tina? Can we let her in? In the meantime, Tina's going to go to Tara and be like, dude, you need to be careful about who you talk to. Yeah. You need to be very careful. Vic is not trustworthy. Keith is too loyal to these guys. We need to start eyes open, mouth closed.
And then, yes. So, right. She literally told her, don't say anything. And Tara took that to mean, oh, well, I just need to explain to everyone why I was saying that. I'm just going to go around to everyone individual. Okay. So she told me that I made a mistake and I should just cool it. So what I'm going to do is not cool it and over explain myself to everybody to make up for the thing that I said earlier. And it's like, no, in fact, do the opposite.
Yeah. Tina's also going to talk with Ro. This is when she tells him, like, you really can't trust Vic with information. She thinks that Kiefer is more likely to work with them than Vic, and that he should not be going after Kiefer. It should be the guys. Ro thinks they should be working with Brayden. She agrees. Tina says, like, Kiefer won't take the shot, but he will be okay with the shot being taken. And Kiefer is not a target for us. So Tina's putting in work for Kiefer as well.
So sorry to interrupt, but do you think that when the shot is taken, it'll be the two boys or a boy and Beth?
As of right now, it will be the two guys from pretty much everybody. But once you have the power, you might change your mind. But pretty much the conversation has been you can't leave one of them off the block, because then if the other one wins veto, they'll both be safe and you're in trouble. Beth is a great replacement nominee. But you'd need to have both of them up on the block. Beth and Ty are going to talk. This is when they have the conversation about, like, well, who exactly do we nominate? It's, again, it comes down to Brayden and Ro, but they both talk about, like, I don't think we even need to win HOH. Maybe we don't even need it. No, you need it. You've needed it for the last 3 weeks and you will continue to need it. I'm really starting to, and I feel terrible for making this comparison, but I'm really starting to feel, be reminded of watching Jackson and Holly, in Big Brother 21, who were only surviving because they kept winning over and over every week, being like, we're doing so well. We don't even need to win next week. And Jackson is, I think, the lowest rated in the Stockwatch over the course of the entire season winner we've ever had. And that's because he was one competition away from losing the game every week.
Yeah.
But he kept winning. But he also kept saying that they weren't going to try. And it's the same exact thing that's happening with Beth and Ty, where the fact that they're winning and their allies are winning, they think that they're doing better than they are. And the second they lose, they're going to realize that they're not doing that well. And if they go all the way through the season without losing, they're going to think that they were doing much better than they were.
See, and that's what's really hard as the viewer. And that's why we're like, I'm like itching for a reckoning of them like getting on the block and realizing that they aren't doing that good. Which, like, I like Ty and Jed. I don't really want either of them to go home, but I need them to know that they're doing poorly. It's annoying. I agree with you.
I will again apologize to Ty, especially for that that comparison. But game wise,
it's not perfect. Yeah. And I actually don't. I think Holly's a stronger player than Beth, certainly.
Yeah.
I think, like, and that
Jackson
has
been a stronger player than Ty. What did I say? I didn't say anything.
I think both of them are perhaps a bit more self-interested, and Holly has such stronger social skills. I think that if Holly had lost Jackson, she could have maneuver her way to the end and won. But Holly is the perfect example of what I was talking about earlier, where Beth just needs to accept she's a showmantress. Holly fell into that role perfectly. She played it to the best of her ability. She got to the final two. If Beth were to play like that, she would be in such a better position. But Beth is trying to act like that's not what's happening with her. Anyways.
Yeah. All right. So Beth and Brayden are going to talk. In the conversation with Ty, she talked about like, this Roe thing has put an idea in my head. What if we pretend like we're willing to cut each other? Wouldn't that be fun? And so she's going to talk with Brayden and kind of pretend like she's willing to cut the guys. And he doesn't believe her.
Because the conversation. It's like, that was the one that I was like, Beth, stop. Because she's like, oh yeah, oh yeah. And she like makes these phases and she runs over anything that he wants to say. And it's just really, really painful. It's the definition of like doing too much. No subtlety.
Yeah. There's a bit more again with Tina talking to the Sunsetters. Again, there's some debate over whether or not they can trust her. Kiefer is trying to put in work. But that was basically the night here. There's definitely a lot from this morning already that we won't be able to give you too much detail on. But anything from yesterday that you wanted to bring up, Maggie?
Well, Beth also in that conversation with Brayden was like ratting out that Tara and Tina were trying to flip the vote. Mm-hmm. And Bray was like, okay.
Yeah, that they talked about like, oh, we'll rat them out to Brayden. He will be so pissed at them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what can you do here? I think that I'm just growing increasingly frustrated. I know it'll be fine. I'm not like, you know, so frustrated that I'm, you know, over it, but I'm just growing increasingly frustrated, I think, with the just sort of what you hit on with, I want people to be more self-interested. I want to see people be more willing to do things for themselves rather than a group. And we also didn't, I'm seeing in the chat, they're saying hair tie gate, like the hair tie thing with Vic and Austin, where they were like fighting and Austin gave Vic back her hair tie and Vic was all upset about it. And then they had a little conversation where they talked it out and it was fine.
Yeah. Great stuff.
All right. I didn't really have anything else to say about it either, but I wanted to give the people what they wanted. What am I supposed to do, Taryn? Ignore it. It's in my notes.
Yeah. All right. Well, what I really would like to talk about, and it's really what I've been wanting to talk about since it happened this morning, is that the guys have approached, this happened, I'll get into more detail tomorrow, of course, but the guys have approached Vic about formalizing an alliance, and they've named it after, in reference to Vic, it's called the Ghost Peppers.
I haven't seen any of this morning.
Yes, she has spoken to the cameras about it. She is giddy with excitement. This is, oh my God, this is my new alliance. I'm so excited. This is what she's playing with now. This Ghost Peppers alliance. Last night, Ty slid into Vic's bed as well. No canoodling or anything, but there was they were in the same bed together.
Oh no. Yeah. We watched that sweet video from her partner. Oh no.
Well, okay. Like I said, no canoodling.
Yeah, nothing happened, you said, but oh no. Okay. Well, that's an interesting thing that I didn't see.
This is the direction.
It's stressing me out. Spicy V. I didn't expect this information to come at me this morning.
this is fake to the guys. Yes, they are intentionally They intentionally propose this alliance in order to keep Vic close until they need to cut her. They have no intention of going to the end with Vic.
And that's a tough one for her. Like that'll be a tough cut, I think. Like, that won't feel good at all. Mm-hmm. And I don't know when it ever feels good to get voted out of Big Brother. But I think for her, she'll have a really tough time with that one.
Yes. And the getting in bed with, I think, is also intentional. Like, they know the hold they have over Vic. They are using it, which kudos.
Yeah. Yeah. Good gameplay. Here for it. Yeah, that's all I have to say about it. I don't want to say anything else.
All right. Well, that's about what we have. If you want more info on the Ghost Peppers or on about, I think during this update or maybe slightly before, I think that Austin was maybe confronting Ty or Jed or somebody about how Ty is definitely the HOH, and there was a little bit of an argument. So I'm sure we'll talk about that and everything else that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 9 feeds tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern. Tonight, I'll be live with Rob. We'll be recapping tonight's episode of Big Brother Canada 9. And tomorrow night, the roundtable, we will be rating the players. We will be updating the Stockwatch prices. Did you do well? I don't know.
I mean, I only had $160 to work with, Taryn. So no matter how well I did, I will still be in about a thousandth place.
Well, hey, maybe other people will have done very bad things and they'll fall below you.
Sure. Maybe I'll be in 999th place.
There you go. All right. So check all of that out. You can also, of course, find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. We played some Among Us last night. It was very fun. And then we played some Fall Guys, which was also very, very fun. We won a bunch of squad. It was very fun last night, guys. Come hang out with us.
Fall Guys seems really fun. I watched your stream. I don't know. It was sometime last week to watch Fall Guys, and I hadn't watched it before. And it seems so fun. It reminds me of Mario Party.
Yeah.
I would play Mario Party when I was a kid, and it reminded me of that.
It's great to watch. Game. Like, I'm playing it, and I'm also watching it. Like, I enjoy watching it as well.
It feels very communal.
Yeah, it's very fun. All right, Maggie, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at _MLMorgan and on Instagram at @MLMorgan_. And I also do the Temptation Island podcast with Kirsten McInnes. We're going to get you on, Taryn. This week, we're going to have some awesome guests. So be sure to check it out. It should be out on Thursday.
All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We'll see you next time.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.